What do you automatically think of when I mention monetizing a podcast? If you're like most people, you automatically think about sponsors. But the reality is that getting sponsors is one of the hardest ways to actually monetize a podcast. So today I'm going to show you several other ways to monetize a podcast that are much more achievable and faster than actually monetizing through sponsorships. So the real question is this: how can podcasters like us, who've done the work, built a following, and actually made a difference, monetize our podcast without selling out to sponsors who don't really value our community anyway? That is the question, and this is the answer. Welcome to Podcast Monetization Secrets. Have you ever talked to kids, and this happens especially with little boys, when you ask them what they want to be when they grow up, and they say they want to be a professional basketball player or baseball player or race car driver or something in the professional sports realm? It's one of those things where when they say that, you kind of, in your mind, you're like, yeah, fat chance, kid, right? But you also don't want to discourage that kid. So you just sort of pat him on the head and be like, you go, boy, you keep working on it. Keep working on your form. Keep hustling. You'll get there one day. But the reality is that very few people that play ball ever make it to professional sports. And while we'd like to believe it is possible for anyone to get there, we also have to realize that it's not really the most probable career path for most of us or most of your children. The reality is most of them will not be professional sports players. But just because they're not sports players doesn't mean they can't earn their living from professional sports. There's tons of roles, whether they're administrative or executive or sales or marketing or whatever, around the niche of professional sports, that even if they don't have the on-field talent to be on the team, that you can earn your living and earn a really good living tangentially related to roles around those professional sports teams. I view it the same way when a podcaster talks about sponsors. They have this pie in the sky hope that they'll actually get sponsorships and get big enough to get sponsorships. And while that is a possibility, the most probable way to get monetization from your podcast is not through sponsors, but it's through other methods. So let's talk about those, and I'll give you some more tangible ways that are going to increase your probability of monetizing your podcast versus the improbability of sponsorships. So let me just go ahead and say, as a baseline for sponsorships, if your show is not getting 30,000 downloads a month, and most of us aren't, then you probably don't even want to look at sponsorships. And the reason is because even on a good day, when you have a really good CPM deal with the way podcast advertising goes, that means the average sponsor, let me just say, will pay you $25 per 1,000 downloads that you have on your podcast in a month. So let's just say you do hit that holy grail 30,000 download a month threshold. That means a single advertiser will probably be willing to pay you about $750 for the month. Now, that's not quit your job money. That's not live the life of your dreams money. That may be cover the cost of your podcast and production, but not pay you for your time kind of money. That's why I say sponsorship isn't the best route, but let's talk about some things that can get you more money. I personally believe that as long as you're building a podcast, you should have as many streams of income as possible with your show. So sponsorship could be a part of that. But many of these other things, if you have three or four or five different revenue streams for your podcast, then it becomes easier to increase all of those over time, thereby increasing the entire amount of revenue you get from each one of those revenue streams. So the first thing I want to talk about, and it's where a lot of people start, is affiliate marketing. Now, affiliate marketing, I've done episodes about affiliate marketing before and had some more deep dives into that. You have to get some things going in the beginning. You have to find the companies you want to work with, find the products that you like, and all these kind of things. But over time, when you get an affiliate link and you're recommending things and you put your affiliate links in everything that you're doing with your podcast, you're putting out your affiliate links day after day, month after month. When you post, those affiliate links are going up. When you do whatever online, those affiliate links are showing up. You're creating a web. And so in the beginning, it might take you 3 or 4 or 5 months to earn your first dollar from an affiliate relationship. But over time, you know, the first year into your podcasting journey, you might now have 1,000 links out there in the interwebs that people are going to find at different times, and then they're going to begin building an income for you over time. And it just gets richer and deeper every single time you add an affiliate. And so it's really important for you to find affiliates that are not just helpful to you, but also helpful to your listeners and something that they would want to take advantage of as well. And if you want to learn more about affiliate marketing, check out this video that I made specifically about affiliate marketing. We dive deep into some really good strategies for that. Now, the second way you can make money with your show, and especially if you're sort of a non-business show, but you're more of a community-driven or pop culture-driven type of show, you might find that merch and merchandise is the best way to actually monetize your podcast, whether it's t-shirts with sayings that you have from your podcast or things that only your audience knows about and it makes them feel like part of the club. I've seen people do this with stickers and mugs and t-shirts and bumper stickers and all kinds of things. So if your podcast is more of a lifestyle type podcast, you can probably monetize merchandise much sooner than you could some other things. And the cool thing is once you have those merchandise things up and running and you have them ready to go and you can use print on demand type services, there's a whole lot of companies you can use out there for merchandise and custom print on demand type merchandise. And what happens is you make a little less per item, but you don't have to deal with inventory. You don't have to deal with sizes. You don't have to deal with packaging things. You don't have to deal with shipping things. So if you sell 100 t-shirts through print on demand, you might only make $5 per t-shirt. So now you've made $500. But you might say, well, that's not as much as I'd make if I made them my own. So you might go out and have to buy 500 t-shirts of different sizes, and then you have to make them, and then you have to package them, and then you have to mail them out, and then you have to ship them, and then you have to handle all your returns and all these kind of things. And it's just so much better if you let a print-on-demand company do it. You make smaller money per transaction and per product that you sell, but over time, it's going to be easier to add products to your offering. You can add book bags or backpacks or hats or visors or anything else that you think your audience would want, much easier if you're using a print-on-demand company than if you had to do it all yourself. So that's what I would recommend for many lifestyle podcasts. Start with the merchandise and go from there. And another thing is that you can use your podcast to drive traffic to your merchandise. You can put your link to your merchandise store at the bottom of all your show notes. You can put it out on in the bottom of any YouTube channel. So merchandise is really an important part of monetizing, and it just begins to add. And many people get to a point where they're like, oh, we sell about $1,000 worth of t-shirts or merch per month. Well, then you get a cut of that, and it makes for, like, many times getting your podcast to where it's not going in the hole anymore every month and you're actually breaking even plus having a little profit. So merchandise is an important part of any strategy. The third option is paid memberships or communities. I am huge on this because it's the crux of a lot of what I teach. In my opinion, it's the best way to build full-time income. When you're dealing with a paid community or paid membership, you're dealing with recurring revenue. And it's so interesting because you don't realize that just having 1,000 people, think about it, 1,000 people pay $97 a month for a membership or community or club or whatever it is you're going to offer them, that's $1 million a year, more than $1 million a year, like $1.14 million a year in recurring revenue that you've just created. Now, you're probably not going to make that at your full-time job that you're working. So building things where you get scale over time and building things where you get the multiplication factor of time over increasing subscribers, over increasing months, then it gives you more and more revenue. It's my opinion, one of the best ways to monetize your podcast. And paid communities or subscriptions can actually be anything from ad-free feeds that people are paying a subscription fee every month for, to a Patreon-type group where people are paying for extra insider access or they get some bonuses that other people that listen to the podcast without paying through Patreon don't get. And you can even do things like take some courses or things that you have and roll them into a community where that becomes part of the content that you provide to your community. So the next way to monetize your show is through courses. Many of you probably already have created a course. Maybe it's a low-ticket course. It could be a high-ticket course. But a low-ticket course is easily sold from a podcast. If you have a higher-ticket course, you probably have to have a what I call a bridge event, and then you can sell, get your podcast listeners to a free bridge event, like a mastermind, a webinar, or something like that, and give them some value and then upsell them into the higher-ticket one. But your courses over time are going to help you monetize your podcast in a way that is going to be much more lucrative than a sponsorship, for example. In addition to driving traffic to your courses through your podcast, there's also other websites out there like Udemy or Teachable that will actually let you put your course on their platform, and then they help drive traffic to your course, and you might just make a little bit less because you're paying them every single month for hosting your course and driving traffic to your course. But it's another way to get free traffic to your courses, which means ultimately more money in your pocket. And that's what this is all about. If you have any sort of coaching component to what you do, whether it's, you know, coaching people who have diabetic children, or you're like me, you coach people how to monetize their podcast, or you're coaching people through some nutrition program or something like that, coaching slots for any coaching program that you have can easily be filled from your podcast. Now, I will say this, I work with a significant number of private practice doctors, therapists, psychologists, social workers, all of these clinicians who see people in the office one-on-one. And many of them are looking to replace that one-on-one with one-to-many, because one-on-one can burn you out. One-on-one can feel emotionally exhausting by the end of the day. And if you've ever had to do 4 or 5 clients in a day or coaching calls in a day, you know that it's easy to almost be catatonic by the time you get home to your family. And what I would suggest doing for many people that want to do coaching and want to even start with the coaching model, start with the group coaching model. Filter in people from your podcast that want to take the next step and want to get the next help that you can provide them through your coaching program. And then from there, you might have a coaching program where you then peel out some higher ticket clients that want even more help from you and more of your time one-on-one. Another monetization method that you might not really be familiar with if you're not quite as plugged into the marketing world as I am is newsletters. And I know we throw that word newsletter around very loosely in the podcast world. We'll say, sign up for my free newsletter. And when I always ask my clients this, it's kind of funny because I'll ask them, I'll say, what's your call to action? And they're like, okay, my call to action is that they go to my website and they sign up for my newsletter. And I'm like, great, what's in your newsletter? And they're like, well, I haven't created it yet, but as soon as I get a sign up for it, then I'll create my newsletter. And then many people, we have this sort of endless loop that we've built where we're like, what are you sending out in your weekly newsletter? Well, it's my podcast information. Well, then why are we trying so hard to get our podcast listeners who've already listened to the content to sign up for your newsletter so that you can then send them a text synopsis of what you just covered in that same content? Is it more information? What are you doing? So One of the things that you have to realize is since the pandemic, newsletters have become an entirely legitimate business model. That's all I can say. There's been many newsletters that have been started for specific niches that have sold for tens of millions of dollars within just a year or so. And there's a lot of different ways to make money with newsletters. But let me tell you, the basic premise is that you create content specifically for your niche that you're then emailing them out on a regular basis. Many people have, some people are now using Substack or some other things where people have to pay like maybe $4.99 or $5.99 a month to get that newsletter. But many are also giving free newsletters out, and they're giving free content to the people that sign up for the newsletter. And then they're monetizing it on the back end with sponsors for that newsletter. So there's a lot of ways that you can do this, and you can go down the whole entire rabbit hole, but newsletters are a legitimate way for you to, again, build another viable revenue stream and use your podcast to drive traffic to your newsletter that then adds them to your email list, adds them to your newsletter list for your niche, making them more desirable for sponsors, not just maybe for your newsletter, but also maybe for your podcast as well. So there's a lot to be considered for newsletters. And then the last way that I think it should probably be lower on the list for most of us is sponsorships. And so with sponsors, I will tell you that many podcasters will start out in a very undesirable relationship with a sponsor. In other words, they might get solicited by a sponsor who says, hey, I'll give you this free pair of headphones or earbuds if you'll advertise me on your podcast. And there's been companies that have come through and done that. And I don't feel like that's the best way for you as a podcaster to get any value back from your platform. I feel like there are sponsors that many times want to exploit and take advantage of our ignorance as podcasters. Another way I see this happening is whenever we have what we call baked in ads. In other words, you're editing in or you're talking about that sponsor within the full audio of your podcast. So then you put that audio file on your podcast host, and every time from here on out that someone plays that podcast, they're getting that ad delivered to them. But you as a podcaster have only gotten paid once for that advertisement. But now we're giving sponsors advertising for free in perpetuity. Don't do this. It would be better for you to decline any possible podcast sponsorship until you can offer them dynamic ad insertion. Dynamic ad insertion is much more available now. Multiple podcast hosts have this technology. And basically what it is, it's that you don't edit and bake in the audio with your ad into your main audio file, but it's loaded separately into your podcast host. And as long as that ad spot is designated for that particular ad, then it will play. And as soon as that advertisement is not being paid for anymore, that campaign is over or whatever, you can turn off that ad and remove it. And then you just have like a 1 second space in your audio file that will quickly pass by and no one will know any the wiser. Or you can replace that old ad with a new ad, and now people are having to pay again. So don't just give away one download that you're charging a sponsor for and then give away free advertising in perpetuity. If we all stopped doing that, we would make huge strides as a podcast niche in order to have more value for the sponsorships that we accept. I'll also be doing a deep dive into each one of these types of monetization because there's a lot of nuance with each one of them that I just can't cover in sort of an overview type scenario like we're talking about now. But if you're serious about monetizing your podcast, I have a community that's now open, and it's the Podcast Freedom Community. And we go into the exact specific frameworks that are working for lots of entrepreneurs, bringing them hundreds of millions of dollars a month and recurring revenue through subscriptions and memberships and things like that. Just go to podfreedom.io. That's the URL, podfreedom.io. You can learn all about everything there. You can sign up and then join the community where you'll be able to come in and have the exact blueprint you need to monetize your podcast. So like, follow, subscribe, and I'll see you on the next episode.